to this morning point you to verses 17 and 18 in that reading. You see there, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise, that's us and them, and these are the words, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. The first thing that I must say this morning is that our God is good. Our God is good. And we can see his goodness all around us. We're told in Scripture that when God created the heavens and the earth, at the end of the sixth day, he looked at, he saw what he had made, and the words are, it was all very good. And if you have even studied some of the little details of creation or the vastness of it, you will understand, won't you? It is good because our God is good. And the scripture says that even the creation is displaying his glory. And so we must begin there, that our God is good and he has shown his goodness in what he has made all around us. But he has also shown his goodness in his word to us. God has spoken to us and his word is good. He has made, particularly, he has made to us, his people, such good promises. Such good promises. And it's not my purpose this morning to remind you of all that he has promised, but his promises are amazing. To start with, he has promised to us himself. And he has promised to us eternal life. And he has promised to us an inheritance that endures forever and ever. That's what it just says in the text there. The wonderful promises of God tell us that he is a good God for us. Peter, in his second letter, he talks about his exceedingly great and precious promises. That's what he says. So the first thing I want you to take home today is that our God is good. And I feel like saying to you, to say that is an understatement. Good? Very good. What's the superlative? I don't know. Our God is good. But then secondly, our God does not change. Our God does not change. And that is one of the things that Scripture says. He is the same. He remains the same. Faithful, steadfast. Our God does not change. And the word for does not change appears twice in our text. It's the word immutable. The word immutable means that it cannot be altered, it cannot be changed, it cannot be set aside or anything like that. Immutable means it stands unchanged. And I say to you, God is immutable, but I want to go on to tell you that his word is immutable as well. And that's what the Bible is telling you here. That particularly the promises of God that he has made, they are immutable. They cannot be altered. They cannot be changed. And he never breaks them. Think about it for a moment. No circumstances can cause God to change his word. No events can cause him to change his word. I go on and say to you, no one and nothing can stop our God from doing what he has promised. Let me say this. No army of men on earth can prevent him from doing what he will do. There is an account in the second book of Chronicles where an Ethiopian led an army of 1 million men against the small people of Judah. But God obliterated that army. He rose up and stopped them attacking his little people. No army of men can prevent God from fulfilling his word. I say not only that, but not all the hosts of hell can prevent him from fulfilling his word. I go on and say to you, not even death can change his word. We, most of us, maybe all of us, depends on when the Lord returns. We are going to die, but death will not prevent God from keeping his word. So I begin this morning with these two things. Our God is good, and our God will not change and will not change his word. Thirdly, I go on and say this to you, that God has shown to his people that his word of promise is immutable. He's shown us that. To begin with, he put his promises into a covenant. We talk about a covenant. Now, a covenant is not an agreement. God didn't sit down with Abraham and say, let's come to an agreement. He simply declared to Abraham what his will was, what he would do. So, if you like, a covenant is a solemn declaration. God is declaring what he will do. But the text here tells us that not only did God make a covenant with Abraham, by the way, an everlasting covenant that he would never break, but he also swore an oath as well. In fact, this text tells us that God swore two oaths to give to them and us such certainty that he would do what he promised. The text is reminding us of these two oaths that God swore. He says, first of all, remember, he swore an oath to Abraham. When he made those promises to him, he confirmed it with an oath. And Abraham held on to that oath. He knew that God would do what he'd said. My God is unchangeable. He will do what he's spoken. But the test goes on, and God added a second oath, and he made that oath to his son. And you can read that oath in Psalm 110, and in the letter to the Hebrews, at least. And so, God, not only did he, as it were, make a covenant, but he swore an oath. And the text here, as it were, unfolds what that means for God. It says, he wanted to show us, the heirs of the promise, the heirs of his promise, the immutability of his counsel. He wanted all his people to know that he would not change his promises, his covenant. He had sworn by himself, says the text. That means that if God changes his word, he ceases to be God. Unthinkable, isn't it? Unthinkable. How could the universe continue if God ceases to be God? It says, it is impossible that he should lie. It is impossible that he should lie. In other words, if you like, you can take these promises and you can bank on them. You can rely on them. God will do them. And it says, Paul says in his letter to Timothy, his second letter to Timothy, he says, God cannot deny himself. He says, we may not remain faithful. We may even deny him that he cannot deny himself. God has sworn not by anything other than himself, by himself. Now, that's the third thing. God has shown us that his promises, his covenant, was absolutely unchangeable. And in that covenant, he has declared his determination to save and possess a people. Can I just mention to you words that he spoke to Jeremiah? He says to Jeremiah, "Thus says the Lord," listen, "who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night. He disturbs the sea and its waters roar. The Lord of hosts is his name." Listen, he says, "If these ordinances depart from me, from before me, says the Lord." In other words, if you can change the course of the sun, if you can alter the place of the stars, can you do that? Can you change the course of the sun? Can you alter the place of the stars? Can you stop the, make the sea pass its boundaries? No. If you can alter these ordinances in nature, says the Lord, what? He says, then, he says, "the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me, says the Lord. If heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cut off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done." What is God saying? He said, look at the sun, the moon, all through our lives, all through history, they stay in their places. And so God's choice of his people will stay in its place and it will not change. The seed of Abraham, the seed of Israel, are his people. So there we are. This is what God has made known about himself. But I will say one more thing to you this morning. Not only is all that true, but on top of it all, God gave his son, to secure those promises. And he sealed it with his blood. We're coming to the Lord's table. And when we come to the Lord's table, we're going to remember that God has sealed his covenant promises with the blood of his son. And Christ, through death, has taken possession already of those covenant promises. Christ is not now dead. He is not now buried. Where is he? He has ascended through the veil into the Holy of Holies. He's on high. He is in the presence of God. And he has taken possession of the promises. And that's why Paul says in his second letter to the Corinthians, you know, he says, all the promises of God, all of them, not some of them, all the promises of God are what? Are yes in him and amen in him. In other words, all of it is confirmed in Christ. All of it is confirmed in Christ. Isaiah spoke of this. He says, or the Lord says through Isaiah to his son Jesus Christ, he says, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand." This is the Father to the Son. "I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people and a light to the nations." What is he saying? Jesus Christ, as it were, has not just possessed the covenant, he is the embodiment of the covenant. That's why Paul says to the Galatians, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then what? You are Abraham's seed. Abraham's seed. And what? Heirs according to promise, says the scriptures. Can you see how God, as it were, gives us these great assurances that he will not change his word? And when he receives us into a covenant standing with him, sealed by the blood of his son. The scripture in many places says to the believer today, that God has embraced you and your seed with you in his grace. in his covenant. He said to Abraham that I will be your God and the God of your seed after you forever. He says to 1,000 generations. You know, when Luke writes his gospel, you can think about this, he counts 77 generations from Adam to Christ. 77. When Matthew records the genealogy of Christ, I think he records 42 generations from Abraham to Christ. But back in those days, God spoke to Abraham about 1,000 generations. So you can do the maths. I know it's not literal maths. But the insistence on God, he will never deny himself. That's why Peter, on the day of Pentecost, he preached them. He said, brothers, he said, the promise is to you and to your children. And to as many as are far off, that's us. If you believe in him, you are Abraham's seed. And I say this morning because this is the basis on which covenant believers today bring their children to the Lord. Just as mothers of Salem brought their children to Jesus long ago, we bring them to the Lord and we place upon them the covenant sign because we believe that God will not deny himself. He will keep his covenant promises to us and our seed. So I say now, I must finish, but I say particularly to you all, but to Ben and Andreen, God has graciously given you a son. What a wonderful gift. And it's wonderful too that grandparents and maybe even great-grandparents can be here on this day. God has given you a son, and we with you are thankful for this wonderful gift. And we will pray for him. And as long as we live, he'll outlive us, I hope. We will watch his progress and desire the best for him. But God has given you a son. He is good. And I say to you all, Alfred is a child of the covenant. He is an heir of the covenant. That's the exact term to use. He is an heir of the covenant. In other words, the promises are directed to him as a child of believers. He is an heir of the covenant. That is wonderful too. These promises have everything to do with him. Jesus Christ has everything to do with him. Eternal life has everything to do with him. These promises are before him. An incorruptible inheritance, undefiled. New heavens and a new earth. To be part of the people of God. All this, Alfred is an heir of it all. But you and I know that he will only inherit by faith. And you as parents, the church around him, that is a major concern for us as he grows up, particularly for you, his parents. It is for you to pray. And I know you already have, and we have too, to pray that God would give him his Holy Spirit, that gift of him, the Holy Spirit, that he might give him saving faith, that he might open his eyes to behold Jesus Christ and to know him as his Savior, that the Holy Spirit might graciously subdue the sin and rebellion in his heart and make him the Lord's inside him, so to speak. All I would say to you is love him, pray for him, and make sure that he hears the word of God, because the Holy Spirit who inspired the scriptures speaks in the scriptures. Let him hear the word of God. And after this next hymn, we're going to bring him forward, and you will bring him onto the dais. We will baptize him in the name of the Lord, And that is a seal, and a sign and seal of all these things to him. Well, may God bless this congregation with faith, understanding. May he add to our numbers children. And may he grant our children faith, even those who have wandered. It's not too late to pray for those who have wandered. Keep praying for your children. Keep loving them. And as God gives you opportunity, bring the word before them. Amen.